No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host Kathleen Gomez, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. Kathleen and I took turns going on vacation the last 2 weeks, but we're back together today, and we've got a great show planned. We're going to talk about what's going on in our fight for equality here in the nation's capital, the most recent political scandals in New York and California, and anything else that comes to mind. But first, we have a special guest who's going to discuss one of my favorite subjects, the upcoming Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. One of the oldest and largest in the world, this rally attracts thousands and has been going on in Sturgis, South Dakota, continuously for 75 years, with the exception of 1 year during the Second World War. Before we get started, first let me introduce my co-host, the beautiful, witty, and articulate Kathleen Gomez. My birthday is coming up, and I want a nice gift, so I'm really sucking up today. Hi, Kathleen, and as always, thanks for helping to get the conversation started.
Hey, thank you. I know most of the time I'm calling from the southern border, and this time I'm calling from the northern border of North Dakota and Canada, pretty darn close. So how is everyone? How are you? Did you get a suntan at least?
Yeah, I did. You know, I'm a pretty cool white guy, so
You are a white guy.
Now I'm kind of red. But but I assume you're on the northern border because they ran you out of the southern border.
Yeah, I have to switch occasionally, you know, because they usually they run me out of the southern part, and then I got to come up to the northern part. You know, it's totally different. Oh my gosh, up here it's like a very different scene. Beautiful, beautiful, and I found out last weekend that North Dakota is the top state of raising 14 of the, I guess, you know, farm stuff that we have. I mean, that doesn't sound very intelligent, but, you know, it's like, you know, lentils and sunflower seeds and, gosh, wheat and durum and 14. I mean, it produces the top 14 crops. That's what it is in the United States. So I was pretty surprised by that. But, yeah, do we have Jay on? Did we get him? Or is he still – are we still trying to contact him?
I don't know. I think we're still trying to contact him. Okay. We're going to have – our guest tonight was going to be Jay Allen, who actually has been involved in Sturgis, the motorcycle rally in Sturgis for many years. He was the creator of the legendary Broken Spoke Saloon and is a motorcycle racer and has also been involved in the rally that goes on at Sturgis every year. And let me talk about it for a minute in the hopes that he will come on. But if he doesn't, we'll move on. This is the beauty of internet radio. Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of guests because they're on the road, and that's what's happening with Jay today. But there is a motorcycle rally that goes on usually the first week of August in Sturgis, South Dakota. Some people call it Sturgis. Some people call it the Black Hill Run, Black Hills Run. It's an amazing event. And for you that don't know this, for those of you that don't know this, I've been driving a motorcycle since I was 16 years old. I'll be 60 next week. So that's a very, very long time. I'm still driving a Harley. And a dream, I think, of everybody that's ever driven a motorcycle in the United States is to go to Sturgis because it's just the biggest event of its type anywhere. Every year I participate in the second biggest motorcycle event in America, and that is the Ride to the Wall here in Washington, D.C. But Sturgis is even larger, which amazes me because we get something like 50 or 60,000 people on Harleys and other types of bikes here in Washington for the Ride to the Wall. So I don't know how many people they will get in Sturgis this year, but it's just an amazing event. And, you know, there, it's funny. I think there's a lot to be said politically about people that ride motorcycles. First of all, the motorcycle gangs that started in California, the most notable one being a group called the Booze Fighters, started after the Second World War and was started by veterans. And this is one of the reasons we want to have Jay on the show today, because he does tribute bikes for veterans, and but veterans really started the motorcycle gang anyway, the motorcycle gang movement in America in the 1940s. They wanted to do something exciting and fun, so they started to ride bikes. And we know that, that from the Booze Fighters grew the Hells Angels and the Pagans and a bunch of other outlaw motorcycle gangs, but they really started, as many political organizations do, as a social club, and then turned into something different. Well, so did we ever get Jay?
No, I don't know. We haven't been able to get him yet. Okay. So we'll talk. Why don't we? What we'll do is we'll just maybe talk a little bit and then go on to other stuff, and hopefully he'll join us. It must be a really, you know, plus not only that, but cell phone reception isn't so good. So if we don't get him on today, we'll probably bring him back next Sunday. Sorry, hang in with us for all those people that are. You know, stay tuned after I send out notices that he would be on, because if he's not on today, I know I'll guilt trip him and he'll get on next Sunday for sure.
But yeah, and can I tell you, Kathleen is great at guilt tripping.
I'm Catholic, right? I'm Catholic and I'm Latin, right. So there you go. You can't get away from that, boy. I'm really good at it because I had a great grandmother. You know, my grandmothers were great at it.
Yeah,
and
mine
too. Taught me well. You've got guilt. You can do it.
Oh, God, yeah. We used to say that my mother was captured by Jews when she was a child and taken away and trained in the ways of guilt because she was so good at it, you know. My mother was the kind of person that grabbed her heart and fell back on the couch if you told her something she didn't want to hear. So,
You're killing me. Yeah, all right. So why don't we go ahead, and then when he comes on, we'll talk about all the great stuff that he's doing. And it's funny because this guy just – I never knew who he was. Well, I'm not – last time I rode a motorcycle, I was 14 years old. I wasn't supposed to be on it with this guy, Tony Vasquez. I got on it, and I burned the hell out of my leg, and I spent 2 weeks trying to hide it from my mom. So that was my motorcycle experience, and kind of like, you know, I was like, well, hell with that. But I'm amazed how many people ride motorcycles, and military, I think 25% of the military own bikes, you know. So it's a huge movement, and I guess now it's becoming doctors and accountants, and it's not the outlaw
Hell's
Angels that you think about, you know.
Absolutely. I go to these rallies, and there's guys that are orthodontists, and they have the motorcycles with the latte that pops up out of the saddlebag and navigation system and a cell phone that runs through the bike. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I don't want to digress here, but I do want to take a moment of personal privilege, because later in the show we're going to talk about some of the scandals that are going on. But I would like to say a word about a lady that I was lucky enough to have lunch with 30 years ago. Her name was Lindy Boggs, and she was a congresswoman, as you well know, Kathleen, from
really
New Orleans.
Neat.
And her husband was a famous congressman and leader of his party who died in a plane crash. Her son is Tommy Boggs, who's the famous lobbyist here in Washington. And her daughter was – one of her daughters is Cokie Roberts, the journalist and TV personality. And you know what? Lindy Boggs was a lady. I went and I had lunch with her. They sat me at her table, and they sat me there with the former governor of Louisiana, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, and Mrs. Boggs. I was about 30 years old. I was like a duck out of water. I was very nervous. And Mrs. Boggs sensed that in me, I guess because she's a mom, and she went way out of her way to be just as gracious and accommodating as she could be. She engaged me in the conversation. She even offered to have one of her kids show me around New Orleans. She was really, really an exceptional lady who stood up for women's rights. She stood up for children. When she was in Congress at one point, she was the only white person that was elected from a majority black district. She stood up for civil rights. She was just an amazing person. So as we talk about scandal in politics, I want everybody to remember that there were people out there, and there still are people out there, like Lindy Boggs, who are just wonderful examples of what politicians should be. She was 97 years old, and I feel like America has lost a great treasure. I saw her just a few months ago at a fundraising dinner, and I came over and shook her hand and reminded her of our encounter in New Orleans, and she's just a wonderful person who will be sorely missed. My condolences go out to her family, but let's always remember that for every bad guy out there doing the wrong things, there are good people out there too doing the right thing.
And there are. You know, I even think now when I think about Goldwater, who I, you know, being from Arizona, I always had a bad attitude about him. But you know what? He was a guy who would stand up. You knew where he was. You knew what he was like. You knew what he stood for. He didn't, you know, tell you something one day and another thing another day. And we just, you know, and they all respected one another. And I think that's the one thing that really saddens me is just to see these guys that just, they just, I don't know what it is that they think each other is, you know, the devil remade or what, but they have no respect. And that just trickles down to the, you know, to our youth and on, to behave in such bad ways and not understand that, you know, I could never understand why politicians don't understand that, yes, they are elected by their district in Louisiana or, say, New Orleans, but then they go and they're, what they do impacts the whole nation of how they vote. So it's not just their district. It's all of us. And if we don't feel like we're all on the team, then I don't know. It's just crazy. It's sad. And I hope this show, I mean, I think that the gentleman we had, Paul Anderson, last weekend had said to me, well, you know, I looked online and your friend Senator Brown has he's a complete polar opposite. And I don't know if we'll have anything in common. But I think when people listen to the show, there's always something you have in common. There's always common ground. And especially when it's in the good of the nation, we've got to get back to that and have a little bit of respect and a little bit of, you know, some. I don't want to say compassion. Maybe it's just respect and tolerance. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, I agree. And I think that, you know, that's really important thing that we're trying to do here with this show. You know, when Kathleen and I first started, we decided that we would be more popular if we could be like a Rush, you know, liberal Rush Limbaughs and come on and trash everybody and say terrible things. But there's nothing, you know, there's nothing productive in that.
No.
The only thing that you can do that's productive is to try to bring people together. And it's true, there used to be a thing, I think, called being American that superseded everything. You know, I didn't believe in the war in Vietnam, but I went and registered for the draft because I saw it as my responsibility to stand up for my country. And I think people were able to do things like that a lot, that they did, that they had differences, but they were willing to put those differences aside. Certainly, Kathleen could tell us about what happened in New York in 9/11. She was there at 9/11, and how New Yorkers, you know, New Yorkers have this reputation of being really mean and self-centered, but the truth of the matter is that when push came to shove, they all pulled together, and that's the spirit that seems to be lacking in America today.
That's right, and you know, you don't want to have these tragedies happen to bring you all together, like, you know, they say what happened in Boston that brought everyone together. In New York, yes. I can't imagine being anywhere else. I mean, when that dust fell down and everybody started walking up you know, from Battery Park on up towards like Midtown and on, you couldn't tell who was black, white, Indian, Chinese. You couldn't. They were all covered in the same dust, and it was just amazing. Everyone was in the streets just wanting to see how to help. So we don't need tragedies to bring us together. We just got to practice it every day. So in that kind of what we're talking about, what are we going to talk about now? What is it with these guys who make these crazy mistakes, like Weiner, who texted his body and sexual stuff and had to resign as congressman, and yet he goes to be married and he does the same thing? I don't understand that.
I don't either, and I don't understand why he's still running for mayor. I mean, how crazy is this? I know that we have talked and seen a lot in the press about people that you know, are saying his wife should stand up for him, his wife shouldn't stand up for him. Well, I really believe that is between him and his wife. But there's no way that this man should be the mayor of one of the most powerful cities in the world. You know, this New York isn't just an American city. It's a world city. It's the center of our financial markets. It's, I think, still, I don't know if L.A. has passed it yet, but I think it's still the most populated city in America. And it's certainly, when people look at us as a nation, very often New York is one of the places they look at to judge us. I mean, this guy should not, in my opinion, he shouldn't be in politics anywhere. You know, politics is a sacred trust. When people vote for you, they put their trust in you. And who can trust this man? His wife can't even trust him. Who can trust him?
I don't get it. I don't get it. And, you know, in New York, I kind of sit there and I wish we had a mayor like Koch, you know, to come back. Or, you know, because – or even David Dinkins, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, those guys were at least did what they said. I mean, since I was living in New York with Bloomberg, I saw so many things go by the wayside, like the open air policy, which was if you built a high-rise on each corner of a block and there were little, like, road townhouses in between, you couldn't build in the middle of it. Well, you know, I had an incredible, and it was incredible, a view of the Empire State Building, the fifth floor, and my ex still is living there. And this Asian guy bought the townhouse next to us and decided he really didn't like the way the wall of the apartment building I lived in looked. So he just built a wall and put a huge mural and went right over my window. So now it's dark. I haven't been there since this happened, and I'll probably you probably hope that I don't have a gun and I shouldn't say it, because I'll go and I'm going to tell that guy who the hell is he, that he, because he didn't like the way the building looked, that he should put up a wall so I can't see anything. I mean, these are the things that have just happened. Like, you know, I was telling you about women who have babies in New York City now, they mandate you breastfeed. That's
law. I mean, that's
just crazy.
That's just crazy stuff. But let me say, we do not advocate on Shadow Politics.
I know.
You getting a gun and shooting your neighbor because he put up a wall in front of your window.
I need vitamin D.
Need to go to the zoning authority about that.
I need light. I need vitamin D.
But I know. I know those things, those kind of things make you mad. And you know, it's just the idea that it's not that there's no forgiveness for this man. If he's got a problem and he gets in therapy, let's forgive him. But he can't be the mayor of New York City. You have to have some character to have that job. You have to have some vision to have that job. And, you know, I think that's what this man lacks. And certainly after he was, like you say, driven from office – the first time, and his behavior didn't change. Now, you and I, Kathleen, have known many politicians in our life, and we know that these guys are myopic and self-centered. But, you know, that you have to have somewhat of a world view, or at least a view towards the constituents that you represent in order to do a decent job. How are people in New York City going to have respect for this man?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think they were just so glad. Everyone was just so glad, I think, all the way around to get rid of Bloomberg. I mean, Bloomberg spent more in his races than they did for the president of the United States. I mean, he also was supposed to have only served two terms and got something like another 6 years. He got another three-year term limit. I mean, the guy was unbelievable, you know, and he had that all these crazy, you know, like you cannot smoke in New York City. You cannot smoke a cigarette in Central Park. It is completely, and I mean, you know, that's just a little too much for me. I am not crazy about smoking. I think people should do what they need to do, and if they want to, they can, but I don't understand how you can do that kind of thing. And then the whole Coke thing, you know, like, you know, you can only sell certain size of Cokes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, but, you know, and it's funny that you're saying this stuff, because about the influence that this stuff has on the world, you know, the comment you made about congressmen not only affecting their district, because both those things are going on in Washington, D.C. Somebody right after he did the big gulp bill, you know, or whatever you want to call it, a councilwoman here in Washington, D.C., named Mary Che, introduced the same kind of legislation here in Washington. And, you know, I'm like you. I'm a diabetic, and I don't think you should be drinking 60-ounce sodas. But it's really up to you to make that decision. It's really not my decision to tell you how much Coca-Cola or 7-Up you can drink. That really should be up to you. And then again, the smoking thing, they've just introduced a bill in D.C. where you can't smoke in parks. You can't smoke within, I don't know, I think it's 100 yards of a government building or a park here in D.C. And that really means, given that we have so much government in the District of Columbia, that really means you can smoke in your house or in your car. And you really can't smoke anywhere else. And again, you know, I quit smoking 15 years ago. I'm glad I did. It's a bad habit. But, you know, it really isn't up to the government to tell us what, you know, what our behavior should be in terms of those personal things, I don't think.
And, so, you know, and this is what we're, you know, I was a former Democrat, kind of more independent now, and you are a Democrat. And all these people who think that Democrats want to have more government involved, we don't. And I always find it interesting because Republicans want less government, but yet they back these social issues that just bring government into either your bedroom or whatever. But let's go back to the whole sex texting. What's kind of weird is that is a new phenomenon now. You know, I was talking to some, he's not even young, in his early 40s, and I was saying, you know, what do you think about this? Oh, it's like normal. This is what you do. You text sexual messages and you send photos of yourself. I mean, it's like the way it used to be when you would call someone up for a date. I mean, it's just like commonality. But to me, I don't understand why he would put himself in that situation knowing that everyone's going to be watching him. It's like, remember when the guy from Colorado, Gary, who ran for president, and he said he was always
– Gary Hart?
Gary Hart. Remember when he sat there and challenged the news reporters? Oh, well, you know, follow me if you think you can catch me. Well, sure enough, they did. So why would you – and I don't know about the sexting. I mean, you know, it's now like so common that I think a lot of people don't think it's abnormal. But it's not with his wife.
Well, first of all, I'd be sexting pictures of other people. You know, I'm not that confident. I agree with you. And I remember that you and I were both here deeply involved in Washington politics when Gary Hart made that statement. And we kind of said to each other, I think, oh, my God, what was he thinking? You know, you never challenge the press, first of all. But second of all, to actually be out there having affairs and saying to these guys, catch me if you can, thank goodness they caught him.
Pretty soon,
you know,
pretty
but you know, now the idea seems to be, I don't care if you catch me. You know,
what are you gonna
do? I can say I'm sorry. Look at this guy Samford, who just got reelected in South Carolina. That was one of the big scandals of the last few years, where he, you know, was having this affair with this woman in South America, where he's flying off at government expense, and he was supposed to be out in the woods with the Boy Scouts or something, you know, making the world a better place to live, and no, he's flying off and having an affair with his mistress. And you know what? We say that we need to punish people. In our society, we have a legal system that punishes people for wrongdoing as a deterrent. Well, what deterrent do these guys have? You know, they go out and they do this terrible, reprehensible behavior in a lot of cases, and they come back and we elect them again. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, I was just trying to think about, you know, maybe it's the morality of us in that, or it's like we don't care how immoral the person is, as long as he's in the right party, we're going to, you know, we're going to vote him in. It's so much about keeping this, it seems to me, keeping these sides going where there's, you know, the polarization of the Democrats and Republicans instead of, I remember growing up in where I grew up, they called us the Pinto Democrats because they would always change our spots because the people would not vote just for a Democrat because he was a Democrat. They would vote for the person who was the right person to vote for, not based on party affiliation, but what his character was, and was he a good man, and did he live up to what he said, or woman, you know? And that's what I think Americans, as we sit there and talk about how awful D.C. is, it's only a reflection of us. It's not like these people are, you know, plopped down from some other, you know, planet. They reflect us, whether it's from the small town, you all start somewhere. You start in politics, you move up the ladder, you go to city, you go to county, you go to state, then you go to national. And they're just a reflection of us. So when we sit there and say, oh, you know, D.C. is awful and these people are just terrible, we got to look at who we're talking about. And that's us, because we should be standing for, hey, this isn't right. I don't want you to be lying to me. How am I going to trust you when you go and vote on something very important and you say it's for this reason? How do I know that you're speaking the truth? So,
well, you know, I think that's something that's always bothered me too, is when we hear right-wing conservatives who say they hate the government, or anybody who hates the government. Yes. You're absolutely right. If you hate the government, you hate Americans, because the government is us. You know, we're the people that elect these. I love the concept of term limits. You know, it's like help us because we can't help ourselves. Every congressman has a 2-year term limit. If you don't like him, don't reelect him. But, you know, there are people that want to impose term limits because we can't take enough time to look into the candidates that are out there, to investigate them and decide who are the best candidates for the job. You and I both have a close personal friend named Mark Warner. We both worked with him. He was governor of Virginia. He was loved as governor of Virginia. He did a great job as governor of Virginia. But he couldn't get reelected because the people of Virginia have a 1-term limit on their governor. How crazy is that? I mean, who would say to a brain surgeon, you've got 4 or 6 years, but then we got to replace you, you know? Who would say to anybody else that, you know, your years of experience are actually a detriment? That bothers me, and exactly what you said is true. These people are a reflection of us, and we have to look to ourselves, you know, for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for us. We need to look at our behavior in electing them. Well, we're going to take a little break right now, and then we're going to come back and talk about some more scandals and also what's going on in D.C. Maybe we'll talk about some of the D.C. scandals. There's so many of them. I'm not sure the show is long enough. But we'd like you to call in, and if you have a comment about Anything that's going on in America, we'd like to hear it. But right now, we're going to play a classic song for Jay, who we couldn't reach, but we hope he'll come back, and all my brothers and sisters that are on their way to Sturgis. Here's a classic number by Steppenwolf. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Head out on the highway, looking for adventure in whatever comes our way.
Well, welcome back to Shadow Politics, and let's keep the conversation going. I think that Kathleen and I have both decided, for the benefit of America, that we will not sext. on the internet, we refuse to do that.
We're not going to send body parts either.
Yeah, no, we're not going to send body parts. Or, you know, I was saying at my age, I would have to, if I was going to text, it would have to be like $50,000 cash or something to show my better side. But anyway, we're going to move on from Mr. Wiener for a while and talk about another lovely guy. And you know what? I spend a lot of time bashing Republicans because I'm a Democrat and I have a different point of view. But we need to point out that all these guys we're talking about today are Democrats. So we can never be sanctimonious about the things we say because it's on both sides. But the next guy we'd like to talk about for a few minutes, and please, if you're out there and you have something to say, call in, is San Diego Mayor Bob Filner. Here's another great guy. He's been charged. He's 70 years old. He's a Democrat. He's been in the job less than a year. He was just elected in the elections last year. He's mayor of the second largest city in California. California, remember, is the 10th biggest economy in the world. It's a major city. It's just like New York in the sense that it has impact way beyond its borders. And this guy says that even though the Central Committee and other people have asked him to resign, that he's not going to do it. He's going to take a course in what to do and not and what not to do. How ridiculous is that?
Oh, my God. I was watching, and just to kind of it's kind of strange that these men don't understand how far we've come. I don't know if anyone's ever watched Mad Men. You know, it's that.
Yeah, I have.
And you look in the 50s of how they were women. I was watching it on Netflix, the repeats of the first episode. I was, like, shocked, but I remember, you know, calling, hey, baby, and, you know, looking at secretaries as their little playthings and stuff like that. And maybe that's where this guy comes from. But are you living in, like, a hole somewhere that you don't see that the world has changed and that you can't do that kind of stuff? I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't understand why he doesn't think what he's doing is wrong. I guess, well, he's going to go to classes and learn how to act, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, because he doesn't know that stroking women's faces and grabbing them where they shouldn't be grabbed is not something he should be doing. I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, this guy, again, he doesn't have a minimum wage job. He's running one of the biggest, most important cities in America, and that's what really should concern us all. And, you know, it's funny that you're talking about Mad Men, because I don't know if you remember my secretary at the DNC, Renee, but she was somebody you'd say, Renee, can you make a copy of this? And she'd look at you and go, what are your legs broken? You know, so that was never, you know, sexually abusing my secretary was never, ever an option for me. But even if it was, you know, I mean, it just shows such a disrespect for 52% of the population. Which one of us wouldn't be infuriated if the person that was sexually harassed by this guy was our wife or our daughter or our sister or our friend? I know I would. I have two daughters. If I saw this kind of behavior in somebody, I'd call them on it immediately. And that's what these women are doing. You know, again, but not to digress, but back to Wiener, you know, he's saying, oh, 7, maybe 10. And I think what he's doing in his mind is he's calculating the number of people he thinks will come forth, you know, not the number that he actually, you know, was involved with, but the you know, he's doing some, you know, calculation, like, you know, when I ask my teenage daughter if she's worn her retainer every day, you know, she's like, well, let me think how I can get her, you know, how I can get away with this. Well, not every day, but yeah, most of the time. Oh, I haven't seen you with it on it in weeks. Well, maybe not most of the time, but, you know, and that's exactly what it sounds like to me. And, well, and I love my daughter dearly, but I wouldn't make her mayor of New York. She's 15 years old.
Elliot Spitzer, isn't he also running for something?
Yes, he's running.
He was the one that had the prostitutes. And okay, so people would probably say, okay, look, well, John F. Kennedy was a roving guy, right? I mean, he did it then. But so why is it so different now? Why are we saying, I mean, we kind of, I don't know if we accepted it with him, maybe because he did great things, that just seemed like a side thing. But I don't know. It just seems like it's so – the stuff that's going on now is just – there was a fear of it. You didn't want to go down or be known as somebody who was, you know, with prostitutes or sexting or, you know, sending pictures of your body parts. I mean, that's just not the class that you would think that people would be in. But I don't know. Maybe have we just fallen through the cracks so badly as a society that that's okay? I mean, maybe it came with Clinton. You know, I love Clinton. I thought he was a great president. But when he said, I did not have sex with that woman, and then I remember the whole debate, and after that, the kids were saying, well, that's not sex when you know, oral sex is not sex. So, you know, these politicians set a tone. And the more we let them, I think, accept these things, then it makes it less of an issue. But I know I don't know how you would trust if you can't be honest with yourself or honest with your wife or I don't know. I mean, did I open a Pandora's box with that? Because
No, I think, you know, I said the same thing. I love Bill Clinton. I thought he was a really good president. But that's what I said. I said at the time, I said, I think we have a right to expect the leader of the free world not to be having sex with teenagers in the Oval Office. And that's what was going on. Look, you and I have both been in the White House, Kathleen.
Yes,
we understand the arrogance of this, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing that goes on in the Oval Office that many people don't know about.
Right.
You know, the Secret Service knows about it. You know, there's just the most intense security. There's people that are walking around all the time. It's not like he took this girl out and they went out to some rendezvous somewhere. He did it right in the White House in the Oval Office where he knew there would be people aware of it, and he was so arrogant about it as to not care. Now, did he redeem himself? I think he did. I think that was a wake-up call for him. And maybe some of these other guys, maybe if it's a wake-up call for them, they can come back. But, you know, I don't see where Wiener has reformed. And I don't see where this guy, Filner, who thinks that he can go through a class at 70 years old, that he can go through a class that says, you know, when you're talking to a woman, don't back her into a corner and try to intimidate her and touch her where she shouldn't be touched, because that's wrong. You know it's wrong. I mean, we all had mothers, right? They taught us what was right and wrong, and you wouldn't do that in front of your mother, or you wouldn't want somebody to do that to your mother or your sister, or, you know, and it's, that's always been a problem with sexism, is our ability to dichotomize, you know, and I forget what they used to call it, like the virgin and the slut syndrome or something, where you put women in one category or the other. And you know, we have to see them as whole people, because which one of us would be anywhere if there weren't a woman in our lives, if there, our mothers, our sisters, our friends, our wives, our girlfriends. You know, they really make all the difference in our lives, and then to turn around and treat them in a way that's disrespectful and inappropriate demeans us as men and reduces us as a country, I think.
Well, we do have somebody on the line. I think we have Marilia. Marilia, are you there?
Hey, Marilia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, tell us what you think about this guy, Wiener. Well, I know you've written an article about him.
Oh, and a whole lot of them. Well, I just want to say that you, Senator, and Kathleen have made excellent points, and they're all, in my view, the right points. And the one thing in particular that you said is the issue of punishment. And it's something that I think our society anymore isn't capable of doing. Witness the fact that, you know, these people get voted into office, and right back into office, you know, even after their transgressions. Punishment is something so basic to the human race. You even find it, you know, in the social circles of monkeys. They punish each other if one of them does something that's not conducive to the propagation of their own species, you know, and that typically is cooperating. If a monkey steals a grape, you know, that they're all entitled to, and he doesn't share, he gets punished, he gets ostracized, and they yell at him. We don't see that happening in our society, and I think that's partly due, it's very complicated, I'm sure it's more multi-layered than this, but it's partly due to the fact that our society has really inflated increasingly over the years the gold standard of indecent behavior. And I think that's a lot of that is due to television. You can't even watch a commercial now that doesn't have violence, even if it's one person included. Violence and tawdry sex and, you know, just all this sort of stuff that's just out there in the open for everybody to think, oh, that's fine, that's par for the course. And I think that's just a huge, huge fulcrum behind the fact that we tolerate this behavior. I mean, I don't. I would never vote for these people, but it seems that society is putting them into office, and I think they know this and bank on it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I got to tell you, it's not just TV. You know that it's all media.
Of course.
I'm embarrassed sometimes that of the stuff my kids listen to in the car, the radio, when they play with the radio. I would be embarrassed to play that in the car with my mother. I would have shut it off, or my father, you know? And
every other word is the F word.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's become so. Before I left New York, I was on the subway, and everybody that gave us the F this, F that, F this, it's like now become like, you know, I don't know. You know, it's just another word. And it's awful. And then, you know, you go, like you say, and I was watching primetime 8 o'clock family show, and they were using the B word. I was like, oh my God. I grew up with my bra strap showed. That meant I was a certain type of girl. And now I'm sitting here going, holy cow, now they show everything. And there's, you know, and I like look away. I'm like, how? I don't get it. I just don't get it. But I think
it's to be shown.
Yes.
Well, you know, I was on, and it trickles down. I was on a bus, actually a people mover at Dulles. We've all been to Dulles, so we know they have those big things that move you in and out of the planes. And I made my 10-year-old son at the time stand up and give his seat to a pregnant woman because she was standing up. And when Nick walked over and gave the woman his seat, then four or five other men said, oh, you know. But they were willing to let this pregnant woman, who was obviously pregnant, 8 or 9 months, young woman, stand there while they sat. And when I was a kid, you would have never seen that on a bus.
No.
You
right. There would have been one who would get up immediately and do that. I just saw that in an airplane. And The tiny, tiny little flight attendant was putting this humongous piece of luggage up for this man who was twice her size, and he stood there and watched her do it.
Yeah.
Until my husband got up and said, excuse me, let me put that up.
Yeah.
And nobody, and there were about five other men hanging around. Nobody would help.
Well, it's good there are a few people left in the world that still have their priorities straight.
And it's, you know, it's the smallest thing. Like, I remember when we were in New York, I was always telling Diego to hold the door open for anybody coming older or anything, yes. even anybody, yes. right? And he held the door open, and this woman came out, and she's so stunned. Like, she was afraid. Like, was he going to shut the door in her face? And he just held it, and she goes, oh, my God. She goes, I just haven't had anyone do that for me in so long that I don't know what to say. And she said, thank you. And then Diego was like, wow. I said, Diego, I tell you, if you just were showed some consideration in today's society, you're going to get really far because nobody's doing it anymore, and it's a shame.
Absolutely. And that's my reaction, too. My God, somebody did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was their motive? You know, what was their agenda, really? You know, can you trust them?
It's got to be an agenda.
Why? Is he going to mug me? Right. Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
He's going to ask me for something.
Yeah, exactly. And you see that on the street, that people don't make eye contact anymore because they're afraid
Absolutely.
That you are. You're going to ask them for something or, you know.
Yeah.
In the District of Columbia.
And they don't want to be bothered doing something in case you do need something.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. And you know, we've had all these hideous crimes happen in broad daylight and people don't get involved. Now, very often they do. And so there's still, you know, I don't know if you heard what I said about Lindy Boggs and what a great person she was. But you know, there's still people like that. There was some guy that fell onto the metro tracks on a wheelchair, and two young men jumped on the tracks, even though there was a train coming, and pulled them to safety. And, you know, so there's still people out there, like your husband, Marilia, that do the right thing. But what bothers me is that we should all be – that shouldn't be the exception to the rule.
Exactly.
That ought to be the rule. And, yeah.
So, Marilia, you wrote an article about Wiener – I did such a weird name to us.
Yeah. What's the perfect name for the guy, huh?
But did you write an article about him or how,
yes, I
tell
did.
Us what you did. Okay. For what?
I
was
did,
it in a magazine?
Yes, it'll be in tomorrow's I'm pretty sure it'll be in tomorrow's Spectator, American Spectator.
Okay, great.
Well, let me tell you that.
It is completely nonpartisan. So for everybody out there who's thinking that it'll be partisan, it has nothing to do with politics.
Well, let me tell you that I've often read the stuff that Marilia's written, and anybody that can get their hands on a copy of American Spectator ought to read it because she's brilliant, and I think anything she has to say is worth listening to.
Well, you're very kind, Senator. I really appreciate that. That's very, very kind. But they can get it online at spectator.org.
Okay, go to spectator.org.
And thank
you. Not to make a commercial, but if anybody's interested, because I think it's an important, not to pat myself on the back or not to stroke myself, I think it is an important aspect of this whole debate that's not looked at and that society should have their awareness raised because I think it's a healthy way to look at it. So that's the only reason I say that, not because I'm touting it or me. I just think it is an important way to look, not way to look at it. It is really the crux of the matter because it really looks at the brain. It looks at, you know, what makes all these guys tick across partisan lines.
Well, and it's important, you know, and we overlook that. We You know, that's another problem with our instant media, instant messaging, instant everything world, is that we always look for some superficial answer. And if the problem is complex, I think it's problematic for us because we never get to the bottom. But I hope you'll come back and be a guest one day so we can talk about this in depth.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you so much, both of you, and it's just so edifying and enlightening listening to you both. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Marilia. Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, how about D.C.? Let's talk about D.C. I know you live there, and I've talked about, you know, how corrupt Douglas is, but how about talking about
the nation's capital? We've got 3 minutes, and I wanted to say some good things about D.C., but let me sum up in 3 minutes for those of you that are listening that may not know this. We have a 13-member city council, and we've had one councilman go to jail. We've had the chairman of our council resign in disgrace, and we just had a third councilman, former councilman, who just got defeated, named Michael Brown, strangely enough, take $55,000 in bribes from the FBI. So, it's terrible, the corruption in our, you know, and our mayor's under investigation for $650,000 that was spent illegally on his campaign. And there are other councilmen who are under investigation in the District of Columbia. So it's terrible. It doesn't need, you know, we think sometimes that little towns like Douglas, where everybody knows each other, corruption is easier. But, you know, it's, you know, we.
And I want to, we're almost out of time, but I want to next time talk about that because, you know, I it's a big issue with me, Mike Brown. We both worked and knew his father very well.
Yes,
remember?
We did.
Ron Brown, and he was a great guy. Everybody was worth knowing, and it's just really sad the state of affairs. But that's another time to talk. So let's end with some good news that's not sex related. Although to some people, I think that would be good news. To talk about something sexual. I mean, it's just weird. I was just reading an article about how porn and all that stuff is becoming even more of an issue and addicting. And, oh, my gosh. Anyway, all right. So let's be on the positive side and let's talk about something good. I guess somebody signed something, right, for statehood?
Well, we actually haven't no, two Republicans have put in legislation. One wants to give us back to Maryland. He's our favorite guy. He hasn't bothered to ask the people in Maryland or D.C. His name is Louis Gohmert. He's from Texas. I'd rather see us give Texas back to Mexico, and then we'd be rid of Louis Gohmert, so that would be fun. And then another congressman from California named Daryl Issa wants to give us autonomy over our budget, but he still wants Congress to have ultimate control. So it sounds good on the surface, but it's just the same old, same old. Meanwhile, Puerto Rico has gotten 11 more co-sponsors for their legislation, and we lost one in a very strange turn of events in that the senator from Massachusetts, who was appointed by the governor, supports our legislation, but he has been now replaced by a former congressman, Ed Markey, who just won the special election. So we've got to put pressure on Senator Markey to support us. But I'm sure he will. He's always been a good stand-up guy for our cause. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Kathleen, you got anything to say?
Yeah, I hope Jay, I know he was on his way to Sturgis with the military tribute bikes and his bikes. And so he always says a saying, which it's shiny side up and rubber side down.
Is that right?
Does that make sense?
Yes, keep the rubber side down. That's what we all say.
Okay.
Keep the rubber side down. Make sure the tires are on the road and you're going in the right direction. I leave you with that.
And the wind is in your hair, and I know so many people going to Sturgis, so maybe we can get Jay. He should feel guilty enough, and I'll play on this fact that he wasn't able to connect with us, and maybe we can bring him back next Sunday.
And you know how you tell a happy biker?
How?
He's the guy picking the bugs out of his teeth. Okay, thank you. On that note, America, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks. In the capital of this nation, 100 years of exploitation, give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.